You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim.
Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me start from verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, envies, and all evil speaking, praise God, as newborn babes, praise on the Lord. As what?
As newborn babes,
desire what? The sincere milk of the word. Desire what?
Sincere
milk. So the milk of the word is sincere. Huh? The milk of the word is what? Desire the what? Sincere what? Milk of the spirit. Praise God. Wow, is that praise? I couldn't recognize that. God is good. Praise the Lord. That's a good hairstyle. We should take your picture.
Thank you.
That's a different one. Praise God. Let's just settle down. Let's settle down.
That will be talking about. First Peter chapter 2.
Yeah. Let me let you guys exchange pleasantries properly so you don't get distracted. Are you guys done? You're done, right? Praise God. Praise God. As newborn babes, that is sincere milk of the word. You know, sometimes you desire the milk of the word. But you have to have that sincere to that place. Praise God. Because it's the thing of the heart. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I said 2 weeks ago here that there's nothing wrong with being a babe. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing wrong with being what?
A
spiritual being. It's not a sin. Someone that just got born again is a babe.
Yes.
And if the person does not accept the fact that he's a babe, he will never go. Praise God. You know, I've noticed some people, when you call them a baby Christian, they get angry. Praise God. But being a baby Christian is not actually an insult. It's a state. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And you know, pride. There's something about pride that will not make us agree that we're still a baby. Praise God. The reason why the devil put that pride there is so that you can have spotted growth. Praise God. The day you got born again, the devil started fighting your growth. Have you realized that people that just got born again, they just offense, unless God helps them, they just keep offense in church. Praise God. Why is it that there? There's always offense around that environment. Praise God. There's an enemy that is fighting good. Praise God. There's an enemy that is fighting growth. The devil will come and tell you, you know, somebody that is speaking in tongues so much inside church, and you that are not speaking in tongues, you get angry. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There was somebody walked out of church one day because she could not speak in tongues, and the person decided that was just raking the tongue for like 30 minutes straight. And
person walked out of the church.
Sorry.
So, you know, he's big, a big church.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But being a babe is not a sin. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm going somewhere. You know, today's teaching might not be very instructive. You know, maybe we'll have to check inward today. Huh? We'll have to look inward. Praise God. I want to thank God has helped me to with my spiritual growth over the years is that helped me grow, actually, that I've questioned my growth several times. I asked myself, am I growing? Am I changing? I think the question that we should ask ourselves consistently. Because at the end of the day, the reason for salvation is that a man might be changing, moving, praise God. A man might be journeying. So if a man is not changing, then he's not making full use of salvation. Praise God. The reason why you were saved is so that you can change. Because you have been used to a certain life that hated God. Now they now call you to come and love God. So the calling of a Christian is that from a man that hated God, because the man used to go to church before he got born again, doesn't mean he does not hate God. Praise God. He hated God. He did not have any capacity to, even though he should love, he does not have any capacity to like God. He didn't have that capacity. And that's why you were saved by grace. You couldn't have chosen to be saved. Because you are an enemy of that life that he called you into. So you couldn't have chosen it. They had to bring grace. Grace is a powerful force. Grace is a powerful, seductive spirit that can seduce you away from evil and draw your attention to God. Praise God. So grace is not just unmerited favor. It's a force of heaven. It's a force from the throne that can turn an enemy of God, that can draw the attention of an enemy of God and make him gaze at God at least for the first time. So, praise God. Let me just use that example. The way it is that it's not that you know you are facing God like this and God is talking to you. No, we're actually backing God. And you are walking, and God was pulling you where. When I pull you, just push your hand away. And you will come again. You see mercy. And you will hold you again, you will pull your hand away. That is the way we were. Praise God. Now, in that direction you were going, you were learning the life. And you were dying because you were walking into more death. A man inside death and walking into more death. So they are calling you, please don't die more than this. Mercy was calling you, don't die more than this. But you were enjoying death. And you hated what they were calling you into. Praise God. So they now decide to come and say, okay, we are going to use a force. So they broke you somewhere. So that you could turn this way, at least for once. Then you got born again, you turned. That's why a man that is not born again does not have capacity to repent. It's after salvation that a man repents. You don't even see your sin until the day you see the life of Christ inside you. Then you now see sin. Then you repent. Praise God. So that salvation had nothing to do with your power. That's it. Thank you very much. It's like God invaded your life. I'm going somewhere. Praise God. Now, as you turned, there was a place you turned away from. Now they are calling you to go and walk back. And when the man is walking, he's walking by knowledge. The more as you gain knowledge, you have walked a step further. Praise God. Every single knowledge is a law written upon your heart. It's a lifestyle being imprinted on you. Because the day before you got born again, lifestyles were being imprinted upon you. Praise God. So every walk you walk is a lifestyle being imprinted upon your mind. Praise God. It starts with your mind. Because the first time, as I'm talking like this, I'm relating to someone in your mind. Right? I'm relating to something in your mind. And you're processing it somewhere in your mind. Right, like. Praise God. So he said, as newborn babes, desire what? The sincere milk of the Spirit, so that you might what? Grow thereby. Praise God. Another thing is that so that you can walk. Growth is walk. Your walk is not forward, your walk is an ascension. Praise God. So from being earthly, come and be spiritual. From being flesh, come and be spirit. Then he now said, no man after the flesh. For if any man be in Christ, is what? New creature. All things have passed away. Behold, what? All things have become what? New. So in other words, that lifestyle that you were walking in before, you are no more there anymore. Even though you are still doing it, but God in his own mind is telling you that you are not there. Praise God. In the eyes of salvation, let me tell you something. In the eyes of salvation, you are already on the throne. Praise God. In the eyes of salvation, you are already what? On the throne. In fact, if God wants to, as far as God is concerned, when he's looking at you from the eyes of what he created from the foundation of the earth. Praise God. Because you have already paid the price. You are a potential throne man.
Wow.
That makes you happy. Praise God. Who is a potential throne man here? I'm a potential what? Throne man. Praise God.
Thank you very much.
Praise God. I'm going somewhere. So the Bible says, we were what? Saved by what? By grace. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter what? Chapter 2. Let me start from verse 10. No. Let me see. Let me start. Verse 8, please. For by grace you were saved through faith. Praise God. By what? Grace you were what? Saved through what? Faith. So the day you got born again, you believed. Praise God. You didn't know God. But what? You believed God. Praise God. You believed in Jesus. So if somebody got born again, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. The person cannot confess his sin at that point. Do you know that? I know that definitely the way we preach salvation is that, oh, confess your sin, accept that you are a sinner. A man that is not born again cannot accept that he is a sinner. It's not possible. So first is what? Believe. Now that belief is the work of the Holy Ghost himself. You have no power. Even you that are preaching, you are just talking, he's making use of that word. Praise God. I'm going somewhere. Praise God.
By grace, you were what? Saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk. Praise God. Let's look at the Bible, please.
What is the walk? Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Praise God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should do what? So the walk is the walk. Praise God. The walk that God is doing is a walk. Praise God. So your walk is the walk. So if you don't pay attention to your walk, then you are not working. Praise God. So if you say a man is working for God, what God is looking for is he working? Eh? So a man can be doing a lot of work and not be working. And that man is not pleasing God. Make sure that every work you are doing is a work. Praise God. So you see, you got born again. Then you got born again. Your spirit man was quickened. Praise God. Your what? Spirit man was what? Quickened. But that was the only thing that happened. Praise God. Now, the force of that spirit man being quickened can dislodge some things from the soul. Praise God. Like some people, then they got born again, they just stop smoking. Like me, after me, I got born again, I just stop partying. Then I went to the club, after I got born again, they irritated me, I was disgusted. So I woke up in the place and I never longer. Praise God. That's an evidence of salvation. There are few evidences of salvation that you will see. One of the evidences of salvation is hunger. Then you will despise sin. A man that does not despise sin is not born again. We need to start measuring salvation with that thing. Now, he might sin. But there's something about the man that is saved. He does not like sin. If a man enjoys sin, he's not born again. He does not have the Holy Ghost inside him. Because he said, you will send them the Holy Ghost. Who will what? Convict them of their what? Of their sins. Praise God. So the job of the Holy Ghost is to come and convict a man. If a man is not being convicted, he does not have the Holy Ghost inside him. So he's not born again. Praise God. So if you see a man that feels comfortable with sin, don't make him look like, you should not judge. No, he's not born again. Because I've noticed that people will say, don't judge. No. No, you are not judging that one, you are telling him his state. He's a dead man. The fact that a man is quickened is the fact that he can respond to a conviction. Praise God. I want us to concentrate, please. The fact that a man can respond to conviction is an evidence of salvation. It means that there's something inside him dwelling in there that is telling him that, no, there's a new way you have been called to start walking in. That's why I said, the day a man got born again, he turned. Something else is judging him. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll start from verse 19. No, let me start from verse 17. This I say, therefore, testify of the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not in as other what? Gentiles did what? Walk. Praise God. He was talking to a church here.
Praise God. He said, ye walk not as what? Other Gentiles walk. Look at this. In the vanity of their mind. Praise God. So it is vanity that judges the walk of a Gentile. If a Gentile wants to rate or value his life, vanity is the standard. So he has to wear vanity. He will now judge his life by it.
Wow.
My friends are already riding car, I don't have the car. Vanity. My friends have bought the house, I don't have the house. Vanity. So it's in the vanity of their mind. In other words, they look at vanity and they gauge their life by it. He now said, don't gauge your life like that again. Because Gentiles raise their mind, they gauge their life in the what? Vanity of their mind. Praise God. So in other words, a spiritual man is not supposed to gauge his life by vanity. Vanity is no longer your standard. Christ is now a standard.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So when you want to gauge your spiritual standard, you look at Christ. And you now gauge your stature. And you will not see how low you are. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The same way a non-believer will look at vanity. Look at how much vanity people have attained. And you will see how low it is in vanity. Praise God. In fact, Satan's Gentiles, you don't have to attain much vanity. Praise God. So, when a Gentile wants to rate his life, and that's why we Christians, when we rate our lives by that same thing, we are acting like Gentiles. Praise God. Because that's what a Gentile will rate his life by. My friends, I've graduated school. I've not graduated school. My friends are married. You think marriage is not vanity? Anything that can pass me is vanity. In fact, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, the Bible says it's not. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And many Christians are even bound on it. It means that you can pick up to them in that church. And we thank God. With the help of the Holy Ghost, it's not by my strength. But somewhere in your mind, you know you're
like,
wow.
I am there.
In case you don't
know.
Praise God. And there's nobody here that will say it's not tempted to God. There's always that temptation there. You've not been to a place where they share a relationship, you now want to share something higher. Praise God. But the Bible says this, what? Not so. Praise God. So, when we rate our life by what vanity Gentiles rate their life by, which is called vanity, then we are not different from a Gentile. Even though you are in the faith to pursue it. Somebody came to me and said, unbelievers, that I was doing business for one believer like this. So we're just sharing money, just sharing money, just sharing money, just sharing money. And we Christians are just here. You can't even, and the Bible said, you are called to dominion. They have finished this woman, no? Because she has set the standard. The standard of a Gentile. Vanity. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated. What does it mean to be alienated, please?
Separated.
Separated. You can never see it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Being alienated from the life of God through the what? Ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of what? Of their hearts. Praise God. Now, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. That is very sincere to me. Once a Christian starts judging his life by the way Gentiles judge their life, before you know it, gradually you start stepping into lasciviousness. Gradually you will start stepping into what? Uncleanness, greediness, covetousness. You won't know you start picking it up. Praise God. Because what you judge your life by is what you converse with. It's called a conversation. Praise God. So if I'm judging my life by how much I've attained physically, before you know it, it becomes my conversation. And now I live by it. Now, the attribute of that life, there's no way you will never pick it up. Because every time you converse with it, it forms a nature. Praise God. Natures are laws written upon you. Now, when I say laws, I'm talking about something that you just do naturally. So, covetousness just comes naturally. Why? Because it's a law. You don't try to covet, it just comes. In fact, you would have acted, for Christians, you would have just laughed at me, it's so cute. You will have reacted towards that covetousness before you now realize the child, for the person that has the goes inside you. Before you now realize the child, this is a bad behavior. Why? Because it's a nature, it's a law. Praise God. Praise God the Lord. Praise God the Lord. So you realize the fact that now don't ever think that because you are born again, you can't pick up nature. Praise God. You pick up nature even after being born again. That's why you don't tamper with sin. Praise God. You can pick up a nature. Even after you are saved, you can still pick up natures. There are some things you will ever tell yourself that you can never do. Over time, you just find yourself doing it. If you don't stay in fellowship. Why? You picked up the nature on the way. The other thing that today is abomination, right? Let's just be an abomination. I won't go too deep. I won't go too far. Praise God. Admonition is more like advice. I don't know how to explain admonition. Praise God. You have a question? Yeah, caution. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So a man can be born again and still be picking up natures on the way. So the devil can still be writing laws upon a man that is born again. So a man that is born again can be dying his soul again. And he will not know. So there's nothing that I won't say forever say. Let's keep that one aside. Praise God. Because the fact that laws can still be written upon you means that you can still live the lifestyle of an unsaved man.
Yes.
And the law of an unsaved man can be written upon you. And then there's this with you. You can't enter heaven with that thing. No, because heaven is guarded by laws. Praise God. And you can't tell me that you are going with ungodly law to heaven. And you don't feel like it will just let you there because the enemy will disturb the place. You will damage things. No, they won't let you come in. Praise God. There was a place, he was telling about some people that they threw them into outer darkness, into damnation, where there's gnashing of teeth. Praise God. So don't tell me that once saved, you are saved, no matter what you do. No, it's a lie. A man that is saved, that is not walking, is walking in another direction. Praise God. And the time will come, that conscience will be killed. The conscience, no, it's not hard. The mind has been gotten. The heart has been gotten. It's going for the conscience. That's the holiest of holies of your heart. Once it gets there, you can never come back. It's not possible. Because that's the spiritual part of your heart that God has been communicating with, even though you were not saved. Now, if there's no place for God to reach again, God cannot reach that man again. He has entered into damnation. It's called second death. Praise God. Go ahead, the book of Revelation. They said there are some men, after tribulation had come, they said they still repented not. No, how did they get to that point that they repented not, even under tribulation? Tribulation that was changing nations. They said this was repented not. Why? There was no conscience anymore. The holies of holies of their heart has been taken. The devil can get there. Subtly. In fact, that's what he's heading for. Because he knows that Lake, he needs companion with them. Praise God. You don't know that it's not she that he's looking for. Yeah. He said he wants to be like the Most High. He knows that the Most High is in control of souls. He wants to control souls. He wants to feed on souls. That's his life. Praise God. So when you say a seductive spirit, praise God, when they bring candy to a child, they don't give the candy to the child, but they are holding the candy and they are joining in somewhere. The child is following the candy. But there's somewhere they are going. You know that, right? Until they take the child. Right? But that child did not see any evil in the face of that man. He was just looking at candy. He was just looking at the man. You get? So it comes to down things before you. Before you know it, you offend conscience. It's not hard to offend conscience. Praise God. Now, verse 19. Who being fast feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness, to works of uncleanness and greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so that ye have learned and have been taught of him, as truth is in Jesus, that ye what? Put off. Let's look at the Bible, please. Let's look at the scriptures.
Let's look at scriptures. Chapter 4. I will read verse 21 again. Praise God. Praise God. Let's concentrate, please. Verse 21. If so be ye that you heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former what? Conversation, the what? Old man. Praise God. You put off what? Now, these were born again Christians.
They were born again. But he told them, put up what? The old man. That means the old man was still there. Yes. There's nobody here that will tell me that he doesn't have an old man. Then, if you don't have the old man, the epistle is rubbish. The epistle was not supposed to be written. If you don't have what? The old man in you. Now, can I be very sincere with you? Every single decision you make per second is a nature that determines it. Praise God. Every single decision you make per second. See, can I be very sincere with you? Even to the extent of the way you, I want to go to the mutual extreme, the way you even press your face.
Wow.
You don't know. Now let me ask you a question. If the way you press two pins can, someone presses two pins and cause divorce in the marriage.
It can be annoying.
Why do you get angry? Right. Let me ask you a question. I decided to go to this extreme. You know why? Because I know that this is causing trouble somewhere. Praise God. Praise God. What is it? Praise God. Do you know there's somebody in Nigeria that the way they press to face in the house actually caused the divorce? Praise God. It didn't actually cause divorce. They separated. Praise God. No. Because
The man pressed the toothpaste from the middle. The woman not done it like pressing it from the bottom. The woman shouted at the man slapped the woman. The woman passed out.
That's
not real quick. I thought you were talking to me like that. Praise God. So, but this, but that action, why I went that far is that action of the day your wife has been telling you not to press toothpaste like that, and you are still pressing it, there's something that informed that action. It's the conversation. Praise God. Something affects, something is there. Eh? So when God starts leading you, okay, don't press that toothpaste there. No, you say, ah, God does not concern himself about it. No, there's something tied to it. You know, a nature can inform your records. Or your extra. Praise God. I'm not talking about you. I like this one. Praise God. No. I'm deliberately because we are talking about the old man here. Now, every single action is informed by nature. So when they start leading in weird, weird places, because a nature is tied to it. Praise God. Now, they take care of the old man by what? By leading. There's no way a man can take off the old man, because the day you got born again, you did not have grace to take off the old man. It's a lie. Because a man that is just got born again, a man that is not saved, cannot repent. Repentance is continuous. You repent as you are growing. As light comes, you repent. The day light shines upon your darkness, the next thing that will happen is repentance. Because repentance is that you turn away from that thing. Praise God. So when they shed light on something upon your heart, it's because they are waiting for your repentance. Anytime revelation comes, they are waiting for what? Repentance. And you know, you can be any big, big revelation, but you are not repenting. It's possible. It's very possible that a man can be hearing big revelation, but it's not changing. In fact, when a man is in that state and he's hearing big revelation and it's not changing, it's even more dangerous for him. Because he might not see a reason to change. You know what I'm saying? He might not see a reason to change because he's communing with high revelation that are not, he's not giving them the leeway to change him. Praise God. So he can tell you that it's okay. He can feel like it's okay when he's not actually changing. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's why, let me quickly say something.
Hallelujah.
Even though you might be hearing high sounding revelation, you know, what reference is teaching right now? Sometimes when you listen to it, you're just confused. You know, recently I realized the fact that many of the pastors don't even teach it.
Yes.
They just let it. Now let everybody know.
Is it true?
You, how many of us notice this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing is teaching. Mommy Ellen will not come and minister at home. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Why am I driving us? No matter how high your revelation that you are hearing is, know your state and commune in that state. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
A man should be sincere enough. A man should be sincere enough to know where he belongs in the spirit, and relate with God from that state. Praise God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Is anybody getting what I'm saying? There's pressure sometimes when you see people around you, which some of them might not even be communing what they are saying. But there could be pressure that, when will I rise high too and start saying this thing? No.
Please and please,
commune with the state you are in the spirit. It's the same enough to know where you are. Now, how do you know where you are in the spirit? You know where you are in the spirit by the instructions, not by the revelation that you are hearing around you, but by the instructions that are coming to you. Every single time they are addressing issues in your life, your level is based on what they are addressing in your life.
God knows me, so what God may ask me to do, He may not ask me to do.
Now, what I'm talking about, what they are telling you to do, is based on the nature you want to address. You get? So, your state is according to the amount of nature that has been addressed to you. You get? Now, so, when I'm telling you, talking about your level in the spirit, you don't need to go and measure it like, you know, like have a measuring scale or something. You know where you are in the spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. You know your dealing in the spirit. So you can be hearing revelation about now you can be hearing things about things of now, do you know some people can be hearing the revelation of meat, but when God is giving them instructions, He's giving them instructions of meat.
Yes. Would that mean that they're like being?
They are still being, and the man should not be ashamed of it. There are people that they want to commune with faith of the Son, but they don't even know how to use faith to actually get things from God. Now, am I saying that you should not hear faith of the Son? You should hear it. You know why? Because it must show you an end point for you to attain. But you have to relate to God based on where you are, based on what He's talking to you about.
Yes.
You get it? Does anybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You get it? Because you can never go past the level they are dealing with you. One thing about knowledge is, do you know, anything you cannot walk in, you don't really know it.
Yes.
You might think you know it, but the fact that you have not walked in it,
yes,
don't think you know it. The reason why you know it is because you have put it to use. Now, for you to be able to put it to use, you must have learned to wisdom around that instruction. Because it's the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. A revelation will come, but you might not have the wisdom to use. Now, you take revelation to the place of communion. Praise God. And that's where prayer comes in. Praise God. Now, I'm not talking about prayer of supplication or intercession or all this kind. There's a prayer that you pray when you are communing with God. You get? And this is what everyone should do every single time. Early in the morning when you want to pray, it should be a prayer of communion. You know why? You come to God early in the morning with your weakness open to Him. With your state vulnerable to Him. For God to deal with you. Praise God. I've learned something recently. I think we're just touching things, right? And I don't know if I'm teaching or I'm just talking. And I'm just speaking infirmities and addressing them, I'm not sure. But are we blessed?
Yes.
Are we blessed?
Yes.
Now, let me tell you something. My own experience, I've learned something that when God narrows down to a character inside me, it doesn't mean that I can address that character at that moment. Do you know that? It doesn't mean I can address that character at that moment. The fact is that he has narrowed down to it and now take that thing to the presence of God. Now, let's say he's talking today about jealousy. Let's say God is talking today about jealousy or anger or unforgiveness. Because they are talking to you about unforgiveness at that point, doesn't mean that you have capacity to actually forgive at that point. Praise God. Now, you have to go to the presence of God to commune with it, and they begin to open up the light of that revelation more to you for proper understanding. You get it? God, please shed light on this thing. Please, I need more help on this. I cannot do this by myself. You speak in tongues. You pray to God. You ask for help in meekness. Praise God. In meekness, you ask for help. You better meet God. God, you speak in tongues. And that's one good thing about speaking in tongues. You know, is that when we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries to God. So we wake up early in the morning, that instruction is in your head. If it's not constantly in your mind, then you are not conscious of it, and you are not ready to deal with it. When God instructs me about something, every time, even when I'm reading my Bible, I've seen it in the Bible. It looks like that's the only thing in the Bible at that moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I take it to God, that God should share what? More light on it. Because for that instruction to come, is because they want to deal with it, and they want you to put that revelation to use. Praise God. So, that's why Peter was telling the church in the book of Acts, he was saying that it is the ministry of what? Word and prayer. Praise God. Because you carry the word that has been implanted in you to the place of prayer for it to be worked upon you so that you can put it to use. Anything you are not using, you don't know yet. That's why I was talking about our level in the spirit. Your communion is based on your level in the spirit. It's based on the knowledge they are giving to you. It depends on what that. Do you know there are some instructions that my reverend says that, oh, this is the instruction he just gave me recently. I was not warning that reverend, he will call me. Because that instruction, I don't know when I will give you. Do you get? Now, they cannot ask me that. They cannot tell me to do that one right now. You want to ask the question?
Sorry, just can you give the difference? Not this particular.
A milk instruction. Now, what is the milk of the word? Praise God. We have to be able to differentiate between these things. Milk of the word is the word of God when it comes to you and how would I explain this? Literally with your foundation. That's it. So when God starts teaching you how to use faith to heal your body, you fall sick. And I tell you that you need to use faith, don't use drugs, don't use medication. Sit down at home and pray. That's the thing to do. That's milk. I can bet with you. That's milk level. Because this is as these signs shall follow them that believe. You get it? So when they are teaching you how to use faith, and you know, those are people that we call powerful men of God. Those that can lay hands on the sick and they heal. But you know, before God, that's basics. So they can give instructions. No, you need to start learning how to be healed. Don't go ask your dad for money, believe me. That's the new plan. Junior Zen. So you can use faith towards God to get things from God. You get it. But when they start narrowing down to you losing your life, you start knowing that you are coming to it. Praise God. I will give example. When they start dealing with things like pride, man, this thing
he struck many questions today.
The question is a bit complicated.
Yeah, yeah, see.
But okay, so in case where you don't want to, what if God told somebody, for example, don't go to the doctor, stay here. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that I'm able to heal you, or wait for the sickness or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. What if God gave that instruction because the person is going to go to the doctor out of pride? Like, you know what I mean? Like, go to the doctor and, like, receive treatment, mm-hmm. right? Because, like, they don't want somebody to see them as being sick, or, like, maybe they just can't wait. They just can't be patient to for God. Like, you know, there's some people, like, I know that that's a problem I mm-hmm. have, but I just don't like waiting, right? Mm-hmm. What if God wants to use that particular thing to address something in your soul, right, that doesn't want to wait for him, that doesn't want to wait for his...
That's what we're doing.
Yeah,
I had the same question. Sometimes all these instructions, even of depending on God, even when you're like, can actually touch some of these characters.
Yes.
So,
you see that meat, that's why they said, that's why, you see, meat is the one that actually starts changing a man, the inner core of a man. You get it? They start denying your life. That's when they start telling you guys. That's when you start, I don't want to use the word, you start learning Christ. You get it? Because that would be a very vague statement. You get it? When you start losing control of your life, John chapter 18, verse 21, he said, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
But now that you are old, one, you take your hand and take you where you don't want to go. See, when those leaves start coming, then you know. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I have to use this question. I can't. Yeah, it's possible.
And
you
know what? Besides, regardless of the
manifestation
of it, you know that the healing
has
happened because God has promised it. So
it's
having that revelation
that
even before
actually
see it,
to know
that it's happening.
Yeah.
Is very
happy. Yeah, like, even at that, even that's one of the best, another dimension to that. But I just gave examples, right? There are many dimensions to that one too. Praise God. So now, you now realize the fact that you carry instructions to the presence of God. For God to shed more light to it, so that you can put instructions to use. Praise God. Because it's by reason of use that you learn to discern between good and evil. If a man is not using revelation, he is not changing. You get? Now, you need strength in the place of prayer. As that knowledge comes, you need to carry it to the presence of God in the place of communion. And you pray. That's why every single time, there's always an infirmity that you are addressing in your life. If there's not an infirmity that is addressing your life, then you are not growing. That means life is not being shed on you. That means you are not seeing your lack. The Bible says the word of God is as a mirror. When I look at the mirror right now, and there's a stain on my face, I see the stain. That's what the word of God, there's always a stain somewhere. So the word of God comes, the brighter the light is, the more you see your stain. That's why you don't play with the place of communion. You don't play with the place of reading your Bible. You don't play with the place of spending time with God. Because that is where your lacks are being seen. They show you your lack, and you are supposed to dwell on it. They don't give you all the instructions at once, right? It's as you are dealing with one, then they bring another one. You get what I'm saying? And please don't go back to the one that I dealt with. Praise God. God has the good choice. You know, Kenneth wrote one of these books. He said, you know Hebrews 10, right? When Hebrews 10, when we said when he was telling them that we are not of those that draw back.
Yes.
Kenneth said Jesus appeared to him and said, this book will bring back to Judea.
But at that point, he said, when you want to be teacher, you needed any man, no man to, you need, when you want to be teacher, you still need a man to teach you the elementary principles of Christ. Praise God. So these men, they have communed with meat well. So they went to be teachers. Teachers there is not because they will stand on the altar and start teaching. Their lifestyle is supposed to be teaching nations. Praise God. But he now said that now you want to start feeding on milk. There's a way you do it. You started feeding, you are feeding on meat. That means when you pressure your flesh, you look at it, you say, no, you quickly go back to milk. It's not like, you know, sometimes you might just need milk.
Yeah.
No, so I go back to taking several times. I'm still reading some of his books. Sometimes you have lack in you. Like normally, if I lack vitamin D, now my body just craving milk. Yeah, it's wrong. No, no. Yeah. Your body will start craving some certain type of food. Not sugar. I know where it's going. I know where it's going. You get it? There's a way your body will start asking for it. You get it? The same way in spiritual life, when you lack some fundamental things, your body will start asking for it. So you just go there, you can feed on it and you move forward. That's not what those women are doing. They were walking back. You get it? They were walking back. You get it? And that's why the issue of what if ever say needs to be addressed. You get what I'm saying? Because a man can go back from believing Christ to Judaism. Judaism is not believing in Christ. And once you get to that point, the spirit man lives. He dies. The Holy Ghost does not stay in a rebellious home.
Yes.
That's, he said, do not vex the spirit. That means can be vexed.
Yes.
You get? I don't know how people got to that point. And he said, no, they now use semantics. You know, if you take the meaning of vex, he's a killing constructive. He's a table means this nonsense. No, vex is vex. It's a dictionary word.
Yeah,
praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So you take instructions in the presence of God. I don't know why I'm spending so much time here. Probably God wants me to emphasize it because many people have not been doing it. Praise God. So that it can be worked in you. This is practical. Now you can, after it has been worked in you, now you can put it to use. That's how they complete that law of what you have. You realize the fact that it can't become because of nature. You just, there are some bad behaviors that realize the fact that, you know, it's not that, you know, when you pull a string and you just pull it back in the court. No, that's not what happened. I just realized the fact that I just walk out of it. I did not even know that I walked out of it. Because the nature has been written on me that has risen higher than that effect. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So when you commune with revelation, they are writing it upon you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
They are imprinting it upon you. They are teaching you the wisdom around it. They are expounding that revelation before you. They are making it brighter and brighter. They are making that revelation brighter to you. They are making that instruction brighter to you. Simple instructions I give. Who do you want me to give? In Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, God asked David, don't David. David, go back to Judah. And Judah, then James now went, David went back to God and said, what part of Judah should I go? That's communion. You get? When we were coming to our to Canada, we never asked God, what state should we go? We look at where there are plenty jobs. Praise God. And we ran to Abaca. If he has gone, is it for not for want us to go? He wants us to go to Manitoba. Praise God, he has gone that one. This place that is taking a crazy job.
Yeah.
Praise God. In the place where they said a crazy job, we just pack our things and quickly went there. Yeah, we came to Abasa. No. A man carried, when God gave him instructions, he went to the presence of God for details of the instruction. God, when I get, what part of Judah do you want me to go? And when God answered him, what part of Judah? Instead of asking, okay, who should I go and meet? How do you want me to carry this instruction out? You get? You must come to a point where you want to get it right with God to the nitty gritty of it. That's called perfect will. You must come to a place of perfect will. You must be able to do it well. And being able to do it well is because judgment has been increased by wisdom. Do you know that if God gives Reverend K an instruction, and he gives me that same instruction, you will see the way Reverend K will carry it out, you see the way I carry it out. You see the difference in judgment. Because there's better communion. That's just it, right? Because there's what? Better what? Communion. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So what am I talking about? We carry revelations to what? Presence of God. For what? For communion. So that you can put that revelation to use. So that's why I let emphasis. Know your level in the spirit, regardless of the amount of revelation you are listening to. Know where you are, know where you are being instructed, and walk from that level. That's how you grow. Somebody can want to start communing with the revelation of charity. When he has not even left milk. But he can hear the revelation of charity. But it doesn't mean that he's going to commune with it. Stay with the milk. Where you are. If that's where you are. And commune with it at that point. Before you know it, you will grow. God expounds the revelation before you. You will expound it and expound it. Before you know it, you know the wisdom around that instruction. And you can carry it out well. Praise God. And that's the place of prayer. So you wake up in the morning. That instruction is still in your head. You wake up in the morning and you speak in tongues. Ma Fenonta. God, how do I do this? God, shed more light on this instruction. God, please, how do I see this? What are you actually saying about this instruction? I don't understand it yet. Can you shed more light to it? Before you know it, another instruction comes. If an expanding of the instruction comes. Maybe they are telling you about somebody in church that you need to forgive. God, how do I go about it? Do I go and talk to the person? Do I go and talk to this person? Do I go and actually pray for the person? They expound before you. Praise God. In the place of prayer, these things are being seen clearly. Because at the beginning, you might not be able to actually carry it out when the instruction comes. But when you carry it to the place of prayer, you see that capacity will be built. Praise God. Because that's where they write the laws on you. Praise God. Praise God the Lord. Now let's begin finishes. Let's go to verse 22. That you put on concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. According to what? The deceitful lust. And be renewed with the what? The spirit of your mind. So you realize the fact that your mind has spirit. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Your mind has what? Spirit. And the Bible says be renewed what? The spirit of what? Of your mind. And that he puts on the new man, which is after God. After God is created in what? Righteousness and what? True holiness. He was talking to a church. So in other words, the day they got born again, old man was still there. They need to put on the new man. Praise God. A man that is born again is a man that can put on the new man and put off the old man. Praise God. In knowledge. A man cannot do it unless he is taught. Understanding helps you put off the old man. He has to teach you. Praise God. Some things that will not help you, that the devil will bring to you, that will not allow you to put off the old man. There's a shame he puts around it. Praise God. He hold me. Why would I even want to do this? He puts a shame around it, but you know it's not shameful. At the level, it's shameful.
Paul had to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they could have been shamed that he's seen someone there. So he had to say it. That I'm not ashamed anymore. Definitely, there was a point that there was shame. Right? They must have been shamed somewhere. Or maybe there are some people that are around him are ashamed of it. And he understood it. And he's not telling them, I'm not ashamed of it. Praise God. For his power. He may look shameful, but his power. Praise God. There's a instruction that they give you. You know, definitely, once you carry out this instruction, your reputation is coming down. How many? Some of us have not cried based on instruction before. We have not cried based on instruction before. Oh my! Sometimes you cry. You've not been jealous of somebody before and they tell you to pray for the person. Or you've envied somebody before and they tell you to not pray for the person. It's hard. But as you are doing it, you are doing what? Putting off. Jealousy is the old man. How can you realize the fact that you can't be jealous of somebody you are praying for? Is it possible? You pray for somebody that you're jealous of the person, there's a problem. Praise God. He said, putting away lines, and ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lines, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of another. Praise God. Now, there's a scripture in the book of Bible. It was saying that put off, take away lying, envious, unrighteousness. Praise God. All these things, they are natures. Praise God. How many of you realize that they are natures? Even lying can be a nature. Praise God. So people, you just feel the need to lie. And now let me tell you, do you know jealousy and envious have levels? They have their own level. They have to deal with it layer by layer. But in the old man, pride has levels. They deal with it layer by layer. There are some things that can I grace and say to you, there was a time. I will share some of my lifestyle with you. Do you know there was a time that giving, I did like pride in it. Now, giving is spiritual. It's not spiritual. Giving is spiritual. How did it feel pride? Sorry. So even pride can come in a very spiritual way. Praise God. Pride itself can come in a spiritual way. Interpretation of tongues can draw pride out of it. Even your anointing, you can draw. Do you know some people, they actually put resume before God. Their prayer life can be a resume. Even your obedience can be a resume. You go before God and you are counting your obedience before Him. That's old man. There's a special sort of confidence that that obedience can give you before God. But you even when you obey, you are saying it. It's mercy that's keeping you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That obedience is not resuming before God. Obey from now to tomorrow.
Jesus Christ obeyed and obeyed and obeyed and obeyed. But he still went before God and said, I cannot myself do what? If Christ, at that level, that he has not made every single instruction to obey them, there's no one single instruction that Jesus Christ not obeyed. And still went before God and said, I cannot myself what? Do nothing. But some men, they raised the dead, they healed the sick, they now went to God, they now said, we raised the dead in your name. The Bible says they are a good one. You know, the confidence they had for them to go and meet God. I say, ah, how can you say that? Let me count this for you, so that you will know that we did things for you. We won 10,000 things. In 1 year, you raise the dead in your name, so they were born again. So they went to Jesus Christ to count their resume for him. Praise God. But somebody like Paul said, I count them all done. So that's the man that enjoyed mercy. Praise God. You can only enjoy mercy when you come to that point. So when you want to commune with God, you go to God empty. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You must be poor. Praise God. Will you be blessed?
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So he can come and start bringing instructions to you. You pay earnest heed to them. So that you may what? Not what? Slip away. Because they can what? Slip away. How do you pay earnest heed to them? You take it to the place of communion consistently. You pray it to existence. Because it's in the place of communion that they teach you more about that instruction. They shed more light to it. They expound it to you. So much that if they want to deceive you concerning that instruction, they cannot deceive you. Because light has been shed upon it. Praise God. You know that sometimes when some instructions come, you try carrying them, you miss it. It's okay. Go back to God concerning it. Carry the instruction out again, you can still miss it. Go back to God concerning it. The righteous man shall fall 7 times, you will do it. The righteous man. Right? It's only a righteous man that will do that. Praise God. For some people, you might be a man and that the people for this. And God is now telling you, leave that boy alone. It's not easy, I know. Now meet God in place of prayer. How do I do? God, you know I cannot do this. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God the Lord. Praise God the Lord. Sometimes it might be a job that they want you to leave. You want to take out an old man so that you can put on what? A new man. Because there's a standard. He said, looking at the perfect law of liberty, is a perfect law. The law is perfect. So when you look at that law that is perfect, you now weigh yourself. You look at your imperfection by looking at that perfection. Praise God. You look at what that thing has that you don't have. Praise God. Because it's what that thing has that makes it perfect. So you look at the perfect law of liberty, you look at what it has. What is, does this mean? What are the qualities of this law? I don't have them. Then you go and meet God concerning it. And you seek God's face concerning it consistently. David did this consistently. So now, that's why the Bible says, he's a man after my heart. Praise God. So knowledge is supposed to be what? Commune with. You commune with knowledge. That's where you gain strength from. So that you can walk out of infirmities. Praise God. What is infirmity? You say you're not firm. You are weak.
can easily be scattered. But you gain strength to be firm in the place of communion. There are some people, to be very sincere, they don't read their Bible, they just listen to messages. That's not good enough. You must be able to stare at your scriptures too. Look at them. Listen to messages, strikes the knowledge in you. It strikes your spirit. It quickens your spirit, it brings hunger. But you must be able to face the world that the Lord can talk to you about. Praise God. It is that one that the Lord talks to you personally about. It's actually where your communion is. Do you know, let me say something to you. Do you know, anointing does not rest. I want to say this thing. Anointing does not rest on your heart. It rests on your mind. I'm talking about the anointing of God. Not within. The one in your heart is the one within the heart. And that's the one that's supposed to be teaching you. You have an anointing from the only one. You have an anointing from the only one. And you know all things. Never you need no man to teach you. Even the anointing in you, not the one on you, teaches you. Praise God. You can think. That's what they're supposed to be teaching you. But a man can be preaching and can be preaching what he has not put to use. And he will preach it with anointing. Because that anointing is resting on the edge. So don't rely on that. When you have finished teaching it, if you have to go and listen to that message to preach by yourself again, so that you can put that which you have spoken to use. There are some things I will preach that when I listen to the message, I will not want you to say this. Because it's as waters, bottles of water, it came from bottles of waters, but you might not have made use of the waters. Right?
Yes.
So any man that puts his trust on anointing upon is missing it. You, those who you have taught, you will see them on the throne. You might just be able to see yourself without alcohol. Number one, preaching is a gift. It's not a work. Now the authority upon your teaching is based on work. So let's say he is higher than me in the spirit. You can teach the same thing. I can teach the same thing. But the work done in people, because you are higher than me in the spirit, you do a better work in them. As a result of the work in you. You get it? You get what I'm saying? That's why a man should pay more attention to a work being done in him for teaching. You get it? In fact, you raise yourself to you. I prefer if I feel like my anointing is there. Is here and teach here so that I can have enough capacity to impact. Do you get? There's a reason why I say that like that. Because I want to teach from the place of work. You can tell the difference in the atmosphere when a man is teaching from the place of work. It's easy to tell the difference in the atmosphere. In fact, from the conviction, the way it is hitting you, you will know that there's an authority upon this man. Praise God. So if you rely on that anointing because you can interpret tongues, speak in tongues, you know, heal the sick, and you rely on that anointing and you judge your spiritual capacity by it, you will judge wrongly. And that's where the devil is waiting for you. He's waiting for you to miss it. There are some things that you know I don't teach. Because teaching is more than just talking. Teaching is an impartation. If I don't have capacity to impart it, I don't need to teach it. Because I will end up wasting people's time. Praise God. Praise God. We are talking about work. Putting off the old man. Praise God. The old man is the darkness that limits light from flowing. Praise God.
So the more the old man is being taken out, the better light flows through you. Praise God. So when they're talking about in the vessel, then in the house of God, there are two vessels. Vessel one to honor and vessel one to dishonor. If a man cleanses himself of the initial, he shall be a vessel for you. It's not hard. God wants life to pass through. It takes cleansing. Praise God. But there's an old man, you know, that will not allow light to pass. So a man needs to be washed consistently in the place of communion. Praise God. Now, John now said, we say this thing to you so that you might have fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship is what? With the Father. Praise God. He didn't even say it's with Christ. His Father and the Son. Praise God. There's a level of fellowship at that point. Praise God. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the instruction we have received today. Thank you, Lord, Father, because you have taught us the importance of knowledge. Father, help us to put it to use in Jesus' name. We will not just bound with it. We will not just say it. We will not just talk things, but we use them. Help us, Lord, and give us capacity, wisdom, to make use of laws upon us. Knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ. That it will be something active in us and not something passive. In the name of Jesus. We give glory to you. All the honor. All the
you dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth.